All right, good morning. We are glad that you're with us in person and online. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Before we dismiss our kids in just a second, parents, I just want to kind of tell you what they're going to be studying today, and then we're going to watch a short video. But they are going to be in the book of Acts and just talking about that the good news is for everyone. And so let's watch this video before we dismiss our kids.
Hey kids, have you ever had anyone tell you to do something, but then a little voice inside of your head told you to do something else? Like maybe your parents asked you to do the dishes, but the little voice in your head told you to go play video games instead? Or your teacher told you to stop talking, but the voice in your head told you to talk even more?
Well, in today's lesson, we're gonna see how Pharaoh's told to do something, but he listened to that little voice in his head. Moses went to Egypt with a simple message for Pharaoh.
At the end of our last lesson, God told Moses to go back to Egypt.
Moses had to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. They weren't going to be slaves anymore. Memory verse.
I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. Moses was nervous and didn't think he could do it, but God knew that he could. So Moses went and talked to Pharaoh.
Pharaoh didn't listen, and he told Moses to go take a hike. Moses did exactly what God told him. He went to Pharaoh and told him he needed to let the people go, or God would punish the Egyptians.
Pharaoh refused and told Moses to get out of Egypt. He wasn't going to let the Israelites go, and he wasn't going to let Moses scare him.
That was a really bad decision on Pharaoh's part, because what happened next was really bad.
God unleashed 10 plagues to prove his power. Moses told Pharaoh that God would punish him if he didn't let the Israelites go.
And God did just that. He sent 10 different plagues to Egypt.
There was a bunch of flies, a huge hailstorm, everyone got blisters, and 3 days of darkness, just to name a few. But the worst of all was all the firstborn babies dying. The plagues were terrible for Pharaoh, but God had to show him who was boss.
After the 10th plague, Pharaoh was finally ready to let the people go. Some people have to learn the hard way that God is in control.
Think about how much easier things would have been if Pharaoh had just listened to God in the first place.
Kids, sometimes we can be just like Pharaoh. We know what's right, but we still don't do it.
So does that mean that God will send us plagues? Probably not.
But he might let us reap some bad consequences.
And we'll end up learning the lesson the hard way, just like Pharaoh did.
So next time your parents ask you to do dishes, don't listen to that little voice in your head.
Do what they ask so you don't have to learn how to obey the hard way.
Well, it helps when you read the right email. I watched one video already, and I guess you should delete emails because I think I had multiple emails from Rachel. So they're learning about Exodus. As you can see from the video, it's not Acts. So, thanks for, there's one mistake. You'll see a lot more as we go through this morning. But kids, you are now dismissed. We have 2 and 3-year-olds over in this building to my right. And then 4-year-olds through 6th grade, you will go out to the gym, just straight back through the back doors. And so, kids, I hope you have a great morning. Well, it's a good way to start. Start with mishap, get that out of the way. But thank you guys again for being here. As you can tell, I am not Todd. And Todd is on a trip with Henry Ann, and I'm pretty sure it's their anniversary trip. And so they are just out together this weekend. But my name is Tyler, and I am the youth minister here at Park Avenue. And just thankful to be here and with each of you. Also, just speaking of mishaps, recently I got married, and there's been a lot of mishaps that Alyssa has to deal with. So you think my little mishap this morning was good? She gets to see it every day, and I'm sure is keeping a nice little tally to come back later. No, but she thankfully sees past those mishaps. But this is actually the first sermon I think she has ever heard me preach. So this, which is kind of nice and a little nerve-wracking, but also it's nice to have her here. And if you have not met Alyssa, I hope that you will get to meet her over the next weeks and months and years that we just get to invest here. And I'm thankful she's a part of this journey. But today, as Todd started last week, we're going to be in 1 John. And he mentioned about John giving us insight from the inner circle. So disciple John, as he, in this passage, in this, these letters, just giving insight from what he experienced from being with Jesus. And so if you want to open your Bibles, we'll be there in just a few minutes. But 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7 this morning. But we're going to be talking about light and darkness. I don't know about you, but when I think about light and darkness, it starts taking me back to my childhood. Because growing up, and maybe some still, I was scared of the dark. I did not like to be in dark and small spaces. Terrified me. Now, I had two sisters. And you know, when they know a weakness of yours, they go all for it. I couldn't tell you how many times they would push me into the closet, shut the door, and sit on the door so I couldn't open it. Or if I was sitting on the couch, they'd come from behind and one come from the front with a blanket and cover my head because they knew I would go crazy. Did not like darkness. Did not. Even as I got a little older, middle school, high school age, if I came home and my parents weren't home, I turned every light in the house on. Because we lived out in the country, and so it's dark no matter what, because especially if we forgot to leave the porch light on, no other houses within a mile or two of us. And my parents were also known for our door was always open, always unlocked. Right? If you wanted something, we'd rather you just come take it than break our door down. So the doors are, and maybe you were raised that way. I lived that way until just a year or two ago, and then now it's even more of like, Alyssa's like, you lock the door. You know, lock it. You don't leave it open. But so I never knew, you know, I always kind of, you know, worried. Maybe someone's there. So I literally would go from living room, bedrooms, even bedrooms and rooms that I wasn't going to be staying in. Lights coming on, closets. I mean, I'm sure our house was on a hill, and I'm sure you could see it for miles because Tyler had every light on. I just did not like darkness. Even today, as you know, if you put me in kind of a dark, maybe a little sketchy place, I start to get a little anxious, get a little nervous. My palms might start sweating. There's something that just makes me nervous about darkness. So what effect does light have on darkness? It eliminates it. For me, light is comfort. Having the light provides a comfort for me. And I know at the moment talking about just physical light and darkness. But light is comfort. For me, it feels safe because I know what's around me. I know what is there. Light removes my fears of the unknown because I can see. You know, like I said, I turned all the lights on in the house because I didn't know what was inside. I mean, I had a pretty good idea, but still, my mind still played tricks. So the light help remove those fears. But think about light and darkness as it comes spiritually. Right. Darkness, bring this overwhelming weight on top of us. Spiritual darkness can bring this weight that we're like, what is going on? It's heaviness. This part where we know things, we are not walking in the light because we can just feel the darkness and maybe evilness and things around us that are just starting to cover us up. And the thing about light is spiritualness. It starts, when light comes in, that weight starts to come off. It starts to leave because the light of our God, the light of Jesus, is around us. And so let's look at this passage of what John talks about with light and darkness. Let's jump in there and just see this perspective from an insider. So we're going to read all the verses together, and then we're going to start breaking them down and look at some insights from him. But verse 5, this is a message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Before we break it down, I want us to kind of see a little more perspective from John of where he's coming from in this passage, where he gets his insight, all right, where his perspective originated with his time with Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. So John, as he's saying these words in 1 John as he's writing this letter out, but he's experienced it already. He's experienced the light of Christ. And has heard the words of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. We jump down in John chapter 12, verse 35 through 36. It says, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light. That last part, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Jesus telling them that you will be our light into this world. And so as John writes, he has become this light for others. But he knows who the light is and where the light comes from. And so in verse 5, it says, this message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him no darkness at all. What does it mean that God is light? He is light. It doesn't say God gives light. Or it doesn't say that God is a light. It says God is light. He's the light. It's a little different when we hear it from that way. And if he is light, there is no darkness with him present. John saw this light from Jesus. As he grew with him, the light of God pushed out the darkness. It did not exist in Christ and in God. I can imagine he saw the darkness in the world. John saw all the darkness, the evil that was around, just like it is today. And there is darkness that we see. But the light that is God, that was shown through Christ, changed things. No darkness existed there. The light showed love, kindness, compassion, and so much more for others. The light of God, the light that was shined through Jesus and then through his disciples, started to push back the darkness. We get to verse 6 and it says, what does it mean to walk in darkness? It says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So what does it mean to walk in darkness? We love the things of this world. We let this world and evil things start to be what consumes our lives instead of the light. It's so much about what we fill our life with. When we walk in the darkness, it's about what are you filling your life with? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What people are you surrounding yourself with? What are you reading? What Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or Twitter things are you following, or news stations that are you letting speak into you and fill you? Man, I can tell what is coming out. I can tell by what is coming out of me what I am filling my life with most. I remember as a junior high student, I started surrounding myself with friends that weren't probably my parents' choice of friends. And parents, you know that, and you've experienced that. There are probably certain people that you wish your kids didn't hang out with. There was a point where hanging out with them, that our language started to change. And things that we said would change because my friends, they were doing it. And so my language started to change. I remember the first time that I cussed in front of my dad. Let's just say it did not happen for a long time ever again. Because he made sure I knew that whatever I was filling myself with, that was not right at that point. And he made sure. But I saw what I was filling myself with was starting to come out. And even today, man, I can tell what I am filled with because my mindset changes, my attitude changes, my love for others even starts, I start to question that, it dwindles. My compassion for other people, for other things, isn't there. My patience starts to lack. I promise you, we've only been married a month, but Alyssa knows when I'm those things. People I work with know. People I'm closest to, my friends, they see it when they know that I am not filling myself with light, but I'm filling it with darkness. John says, a person is lying who claims to have fellowship with God, but is constantly living in darkness. They're lying. When you are letting all these things, and you're letting sin start to come in, and you're living in this darkness, but here's the thing, in God there is no darkness. There is no. So, question I want you to ask yourself: what are you filling your life with? There is no darkness. How are you filling your life? Are you filling it with darkness? You have to ask yourself: are you living in the light, or is it become dark? Because in God there is no darkness. But here's something very important that I want to make sure is clear: is that this does not mean that if we sin, God is condemning us. I mean, without Jesus, yes, but thankfully, we have been given Jesus. And that darkness can start to leave. And this leads us into verse 7. says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us of all sin. Walking in the light. What does this look like? Maybe you ask this question for yourself. What does it look like for you to walk in the light? We've talked about darkness, but he's saying we walk in the light when we're with him. Part of walking in the light is obeying the truth, walking in the truth. And I can imagine as John is saying these words, he's thinking about all the messages and all the little words of wisdom that Jesus gave them along the way. He's thinking, hey, we're walking in the light when we're living how Jesus has called us to live. He uses this phrase in this passage where he says, if we have fellowship with one another. I think it's a big part of how we walk in the light is how we fellowship with other people. Our relationship with others and how we are relating to them. John watched how Jesus fellowshiped with others. How we connected with other people. The light connects with others. You got to remember, he's coming from his perspective, and he saw a man who constantly sought out other people. He brought the light to them to push out the darkness that was in their life. How he experienced the light of Christ and was taught to walk in the light, John is sharing with us. So when we walk in the light, we shine for others to see. They see the light of Christ in us. They see it on us. And they see it through us. When we start walking in the light, how important do these things become? Forgiveness. Right? If we're walking in the light, we're fellowshipping with others. Forgiveness has to be part of who we are. Kind speech. The things that we say to each other, how they come across, how that, even if when we say the right, I don't know, my parents were always the best at, I could say the right thing, but it was always my tone. That always got me in trouble. It wasn't usually because of what I said, it was how I said it. How we say things, our speech. Right? When we're walking in the light, how it's coming across to other people. Encouraging one another. When we're walking in the light, we're lifting people up around us. We're encouraging them. We're encouraging them in the simple things, but we're also encouraging them in the spiritual things and saying, hey, we want you to come to know Jesus. We're walking in the light. We have compassion for others. John saw this in Jesus. He saw all of these things. And the last, and then we could, this list could go on, but last from my list is the love for other people. And when we walk in the light, we have a love for other people that is unlike any other. So we start to think, man, these things have to become more important for us. When we're walking in the light, it's no longer, hey, these things are just kind of, you know, just, you know, when we feel like it, these things start to become who we are because we're shining the light of our God to other people. We're shining our God to others and Jesus so others can know him. Because when we also think, if we go back to the darkness part, how serious does it make these things be? When we slander other people, we're not fellowshipping very well when we start cutting people down. We're not fellowshipping and relating to people well when we start to gossip about them behind their back. When we hold grudges against them. When we treat people different because of who they are or what color or what they do or whatever. Those are things that bring us back to the darkness. And sometimes it's easy to slide back. But we've got to walk in the light. It's so important for us to walk in the light. And to be walking with Him and not in the darkness. What I love about that last part of verse 7, we're going to slide. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. But when we walk in the light, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Paul tells us in Romans that there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. 1 John is written to encourage believers, and I hope this is encouraging you as we are there to walk and shine a light for others. It's not supposed to discourage. It's not supposed to bring us down and make things harder. John's point is to say, if we claim to know God, but we don't look any different at all than others, we need to check if we really know Him or not. We should look different. When we are walking in the light, we look different than the rest of this world. We've got to walk in the light together. One thing I love about this church is we're always looking for ways to shine the light in this community, in the greater part of Texoma, but also this world. So I hope that we can walk in the light together, because our God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. We walk in the light, we fellowship with one another, we lift each other up, we encourage, we forgive when mistakes happen. We don't cut people down. And we remember, and we want to share with others, that Jesus' blood cleanses us. I'm thankful for the insider view of John. That he shares a little bit about his experience with Jesus to help encourage us to walk faithfully with Christ and to shine the light. And I pray we can all walk in the light of God this week, and that the people that you come in contact with, see that light in you, and start asking, what's different about you? Why is there something different that I haven't seen before? Or maybe they just start to see it even more, because the light of God is in you. Because God is our light. Let's walk in the light together.
Let's stand together as we sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine.